Colossians chapter 1, we'll read as usual from verse 12.
Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Amen. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Father, we thank you. You have given us life. You have caused us to love you. You have placed the love of God in our hearts, the love for God, the love for truth, the love for the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for that quickening spirit that we have. It has brought us together again this morning so we can drink of your spirit. Lord, we ask that a fresh dose of the spirit that we need for this season. Say, give us this day our daily bread. That's what we have come to receive this morning. Grant it to us in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All of us who are listening to this, whether live or recorded, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, and I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Praise the Lord. You are blessed this morning. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. Please, can you do me a favor? Ask somebody beside you, are you an anointing killer or anointing booster? Did he answer you? This man of God, did he answer you? Did he answer? He didn't even ask anybody. Now, the question you're asking is, who's an anointing booster? Who's an anointing killer? I'll tell you. An anointing killer, the phone will ring when I'm talking. You now start struggling. You have already committed. So check your phones before it gives you an office that God didn't give you. Anointing killers. We've seen one feature, right? Anointing killers, sometimes you are fidgeting when you are talking. Who are anointing boosters? Let's talk about the more important people. They can pay attention. If they read the Bible, they have opened to it. They read with anointed spirits and voices. You know that they are with you. That's how you know anointing boosters. When you see them, you can preach from now till evening. Everything you are saying, they are following it. Alright. Having said that, let us get into the teaching for today. We are looking at the servants of God. As is my habit, I will go just remind us of a few things that we have learned, and then we will continue into today's own. Now let's be reminded, number one, we are all called to be servants. What did I say?
We are all called to be servants.
That is, when you are saved, God said to Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my sons go. Or let my son go. Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let Israel go that he might serve me. It's not let Israel go, he too has to enjoy his life. There is no greater enjoyment than that which you will get in the service of God. Enjoyment is not an objective matter in life. It's very subjective. What I'm trying to say is that the feeling of enjoyment and satisfaction you get from things is what enjoyment is. It's not that thing itself. I hope you're getting my point. Yeah. There are those who, this is the enjoyment. I read yesterday in the news, there's a man who every other day is on a flight. Why? He wants to visit every country and territory recognized on this earth. He made money. Let's not talk about how he made money. I hear he's going on, is it Elon Musk's SpaceX or Blue Origin of Amazon to space in a few days' time. What does it call enjoyment? Traveling from one place to the other. Now, that is what I call torture. I call it torture. If you want to torture me, give me that opportunity. Some of you are looking at me as strange because you thought that man was having the blast of life. I personally think if you give that to me, you're torturing me. There are ministers that if you invite them to come and preach in a foreign country is breakthrough. Let me be honest with you. For me, if you invite me to Kafanchan, I feel just as good or maybe better. And that is not a joke. I'm not lying to you. What I like, where I like to go, is where I get to, and people are hungry for the word. It's not where they are. There are places you enter. I've been to such places. I tell you, I went to preach in just some time ago. So, of course, they give you time. But because there's a lot of crisis in Jos, so they generally they are used to, I don't know about now, then when last I went, they're used to a curfew life. Even though there's no curfew, everybody goes home early because of crisis that they've experienced over the years. So they explained to me that they had to close at a certain time. There was no curfew, but they had to close. I said, okay, no problem. By the second day, they realized, I didn't complain, no. They said, it looks like you need more time. I said, yes, I would like that. The church had closed. Or not, that's where it was. But they sent a message around rapidly. Tomorrow's service is 1 hour earlier. And they said, because our preacher needs to that is, it was on WhatsApp, people were forwarding to each other. Service has been moved 1 hour earlier, 1 hour earlier. I don't know whether they made up their minds late or something. I'm not sure it was taken as an announcement. So they told me, please, tomorrow we are starting 1 hour earlier. And we are just going to take 15 minutes to pray, sing one or two praise songs, and then we'll give you the mic. And that's exactly what they did. That's the kind of invitation I like. Whether they are in Russia or Burundi or in Bakliki here, it's fine with me. Just let me just be leaking my secrets. How you will know I will never come to your church again? There was one church I went to. They said, maybe it was now Sunday service. Assuming this, they gave me 45 minutes on that Sunday service. All right. I went because of their vicar, my senior. People that you find it hard to say no to. I'm waiting for the man to call me again. And I will say no to him. His people have given me the boldness to say no. The strength. Because I won't take what they did to me last time. I can't take it again. I'm not begging for preaching. See, let me tell you something. I designed this thing myself. I'm not joking. We're not really like designed it. Looked for pictures, everything. Went to the guy who made it. We sat down and they carved it. I'm sorry to say it's my own. I'm not begging to be taken away from here. So if you take me away from here, show me respect. That day I was preaching. At the point in time, I looked at my back. There was one guy standing there. I said, what's going on? He said, it's the way by which they tell preachers time up. So I said, there's no problem. I'm your guest here, right? I'm not used to this, but I can't preach with you behind my back. The guy refused to sit down. So I quickly rounded the message and I made a mental note. I'm not coming back here unless the Holy Spirit manifests in a heavy way. You don't have enough respect for me. I didn't beg to come to your church. Why am I talking about all this? Just licking some of my habits. Is that for his sake? Oh, this is because of you I'm saying it.
Okay, no, there's another man of God. They have plenty inside the hall. They sit all over the place. So what I'm talking about enjoyment. Different people enjoy different things. Some people, traveling up and down to them is open doors, it's ministry, it's enjoyment. For me, it's not. Now, I'm not trying to say they are wrong, I'm right. I'm just saying it's subjective. I'm not saying anybody is wrong. I'm just saying that, you see, one man's meat is another man's poison. The Englishman will say. But you see, one of the things about Christianity is that you train yourself to enjoy something. Not even Christianity, life. Enjoyment is something you train yourself. You can train yourself. I watched football like every other young man when I was younger. Then when I realized it was not good for my health, I stopped. I've told you before, I used to run a fever if my team is playing. No point measuring my blood pressure. I'm sure it's high at such times. But the one I could easily check was my body temperature. It used to rise. Where I'm going is that I learned not to enjoy football. So now, I can watch any match and they say it's the finals of a World Cup. And one South American country is playing one European country. And my wife says that the beans is ready. I will get up and go and eat beans. And I won't feel anything. I will come back and say, hey, what happened? Say, this one was scored. Okay, when are they doing the replay? There's nothing personal to it anymore for me. Where I'm going is that it was learned. I've told this before. I don't know why people drink beer. I think it has a foul taste. Now, please, for those of you beer drinkers, no offense meant. But it tastes funny. Yes, I think it has a foul taste. I'd rather drink ORS than drink that thing. You know what they call ORS? This sauce for people that have diarrhea. I don't understand why anybody would drink it. Yeah, I'm not kidding. So a man told me once, when everybody was drinking, of course, I asked for something else. I said, what do you guys enjoy in this? He said, Oga, it's a taste you learn. He now said to me, you did not learn it at the right time. That you are too old to learn it now. We learn these things late teens. He didn't say that. I'm not adding it now. Late teens, early 20s. That's when you learn it. You now. That time I was 40-something. So it's not the time you'll be learning to drink beer. I said, I'm not trying to. I'm just wondering. Where I'm going with all this whole talk is that what you enjoy in life is something you learn. You can decide to learn something. Serving God is something you will learn to enjoy, number one. However, there's no greater satisfaction. The subjective side is there. Are you getting my point? But there's no greater satisfaction available in life than in the service of God. It's so satisfying, it can take away your appetite. That is, not as if it can consume your appetite. Let me put it like that. That's a better way to put it. That is, Jesus was hungry. He was hungry. He needed to eat. So Peter and co. went into the city. Went into the town to go and buy food. By the time they brought food, he said, I'm no longer hungry. Ah. He said, is anybody sent bring food while we were gone? He said, oh, what did I eat? The will of him that sent me and his work. Why? While they were gone, he met that woman at that famous well in John chapter 4. Having discussed with the woman, and the woman having gone to go and gather people and having ministered to them, maybe now, adding words now, maybe laying hands on a few people, seeing them healed. He was so satisfied, there was no space in his satisfaction cavity for food. He said, keep the food there. I'm not hungry anymore. It can be that satisfying. If you've never experienced it like that, you have not found the thing you're supposed to be doing yet. You will find it. The one that you will finish, and you don't want to do any other thing. You just feel like today has been a good day. Sometimes you just went out to help the needy, and the day has been a good day. For those of us who preach, you know, there are times you finish preaching. Ah! You know the feeling. You feel like we delivered. Yeah. The thing came out. Ken Hagin will say, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I preached myself happy. At times you finish preaching, you are just happy. I guess when I tell my wife, man, did you hear that word? Now we preach more. And you are bragging. It's not really the, it's the feeling at the end. You feel like, ha, ah, yeah, that was good. You feel happy. Jesus said, my satisfaction, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish or accomplish his work. That's what Jesus said. So there's no greater satisfaction than serving God. Every child of God was called to serve. I believe we all know that. No need to say that again. The word servant is the one that used to give us confusion. We are servants of God. Being a son is not mutually exclusive from being a servant. Being a child of God doesn't mean you cannot be a servant of God. We have said it. Let me just say it one more time. There are sons that do what? Serve. There are two kinds of sons, we said. There's a prodigal son, and there's a son that serves. You are one. You can choose anyone, but you can only be one. That's a matter of fact. So we have seen that. Again, I said something last time. This needs to be repeated. And that's the fact that you must daily make that choice. You must regularly make that choice. You wake up again and tell yourself, I'm a servant on duty. One of the metaphors that Paul used to describe a child of God in this regard, he used a number of them, all right? But I want to pick one, soldiers. He used farmer, he used athlete. Is that okay? But the one that's most appropriate now is what? Soldiers. We are soldiers of Christ. Emphasis being on the fact that we are on assignment. We have orders issued that we must follow. And no, Paul makes it clear that, you see, the order does not respect your comfort. In fact, he said it clearly, that if you're a soldier, you don't entangle yourself with what? Civilian issues. You know, I've stayed with soldiers before. I lived in the barracks for, well, about 10 months, NYC. I served in a division of, what do you call it? In a battalion of the Nigerian Army. So I learned the life. Do you get? I learned the mentality. Soldiers look down on civilians. See, you don't get the point. They call civilians what? Bloody civilians. And I've heard different reasons why they call the civilians bloody civilians. But it now means, look at this guy. And then if you've lived with them, seen the way they behave, you'd understand why you're a bloody civilian. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and discriminate or look down at other people, but you have to start looking down on your irresponsible life. Do you get my point? The part of you that is not serving God, look down on it. When you see your prodigal side, that's more concerned about his or her personal comfort than the assignment of God for your life, look down on that side. You're a preacher, you're more concerned about where more money comes from than where your word is more received. Look down on it. See, this bloody prodigal. And yourself you're talking to. Why do soldiers feel like that? It's because, like Derek Prince would say, said no one joins the army on the condition that he will not be killed. He said, in fact, when you join the army, you have signed that you may be killed. Even for training, I heard from the officers when we were serving then, that a certain amount of fatality is allowed in even training. There's no enemy. They're just training. Because during training, they use live rounds. When they tell you, run over there, keep your head down. The guy shooting behind is firing live machine gun bullets. Raise your head. They're not joking. The only advantage you have, because it's training, is that you know what's going on. Because you are going from here to there, keep your head down. Then you start running. Then you hear them give the order. The guy starts firing. And it doesn't stop. And it's on your side. What I'm saying is that even in training, they know things will go wrong. And people have died like that. Maybe the guy A beast stung him. And of course, he had to quickly, you know, reflex now. That was when he raised his head. Yeah. Two officers were just going to visit his parents. That's a soldier's life. And Paul said that's what servants of God are supposed to be. They should not love their lives even when faced with what? With death. See, I know we didn't mean it, all right? But listen, every doctrine, everything in life has its risks, disadvantages, excesses that may come into it. When I started preaching prosperity, now a lot of people who preach prosperity, most of them don't know how to preach. They don't know the word of God. But the message is interesting. It's nice. It draws a crowd. They may even give you money. So it's easy to recruit clowns into that ministry. It's very difficult to recruit people that don't have a mental problem into ministry that involves suffering. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. You're laughing. I'm telling you the truth. See, if I said now, we are going into a new area, we are going to go through like 100 villages, and we are going to start out without mosquito net, everybody wear tough sandals, and then just small bread that will last for a day. Let's go. You will go only under two conditions. One, you have been motivated with the Spirit. They preach to you that, you know, you didn't know when you left, when you followed them. Or some people just like trouble. But normal people, they won't follow you. But you start preaching prosperity and you come to preach, you're in Agbada driving a nice car. Even those who are not called, we enter that ministry. So you found that a lot of people began to preach prosperity who did not understand it. And they gave it a bad name. And one of the excesses, I've seen preachers preach like that. I say suffering is a sign of ignorance. It's a sign that you have not pressed the right keys. You did not sow the right seeds. And when the guy is preaching, because he has money, money has a way of giving you the kind of confidence God didn't give you. Money will be, a man will just be talking. I've been places before. A man was preaching. I told my friend, let's go. He said, Banky, calm down. I was so angry. Why? He was magnifying Ganifawa in me amongst Christians. One. And he was talking down on full-time ministers. And he was saying he can talk because the guy, it was a medical event. So they invited a medical doctor, all right, who owns a thriving private clinic. And he said he can talk because they see him smiling to the bank. I tapped my friend. Let's go. He held me back and sit down. I said, let's go. We're resident doctors, so we didn't have anything wrong with this. In fact, the guy who was beside me is a neurosurgeon. He's a big guy now. You understand? Uh-huh. I said, let's go. He said, Banky, relax, relax. I was so angry. I said, when did smiling to the bank give you the confidence to preach the gospel? Are you crazy? So Paul shouldn't preach. He shouldn't have preached. I said, when they see him smiling to the banks, I feel like I say, this money, you know, I still remember the man with his suit that the edge was bent like this. I remember I said, smile to the man, look at the edge of your suit. I still remember looking, I said, look at the suit he's even wearing. Smile to the man, you can't smile to the shop. Go to where they sell better suit. Yeah, it was there. You know, those kind of suit that the lining don't shrink. So now I have this curve under. I said, my friend, get out. What I'm telling you happened like around 1997, 98. I remember it today. I was offended. He said, this is because I'm preaching lies, because we learn prosperity. Brethren, they're still suffering for the gospel's sake. Men have abandoned comfort to go and preach in difficult places because they are called by God. The part of you that can't do it, look down on it and say, bloody prodigal. The part of you that if it doesn't have a car, the ministry is not moving, look down that side. You should look down on it. That's why Paul warned us about use the life of soldiers to teach. They're a true soldier. And he calls them what? Entanglement. The response will tell you that it was when he was in the military, he learned that you don't need many things to survive in this life. Because he had only maybe 2 changes of clothing, uniform. And he would sleep. They used to sleep in their uniform. Sometimes you sleep with your boots on. Did you hear what I said? I can't wear shoes for long. I remove my shoes after a while. But in the army, he said there are times that they will wear their boots for weeks. Why? When the bombing starts, there's no time to lace the boots. They lived prepared. Everything they had in this life would fit into one bag. Everything. Time to move, just pick the bag, put it on your back. And then you start marching. There are times they will march for kilometers. In fact, somebody said the American Marine, they train, now, I may be wrong about this, but the little of it I remember, their backpack weighs, who knows, how many kg? Like 25 kg. That's a small, half bag of rice. You know what they call half bag of rice? Put it on your back. And then they will now march. It's training for 40 kilometers. 40 kilometers. And you are training. You put... Joseph wants to faint. 25 kg on your back, then you march 40 kilometers. And you are training. That's the life of a soldier. That's why Paul said it like this. Endure what? Hardship. Say, endure hardness. That's not modern English, but I love it. When they use hardness in physics and chemistry. But Paul used it, old English now. Say, endure hardness as a true soldier of Christ. There is not, see, when I see Christians these days, now let me, my digression, I have to drop one. See, you're a prodigal son. If you sit up, everybody complaining about the situation of Nigeria. You're a prodigal. It's the prodigal side of you that's talking. When all you are looking at is that your mates who are in America now, by now they'll have 2 cars. Now, is it true? Is it false? It doesn't matter. What matters, why you are prodigal, is that, so that is what you can see. I don't know whether you get my point. So that is the focus of your life. That is enough to take your time in consideration. You have a problem. That you want to think about life, that is where your heart is settled on, is a sign you have a problem. Once I was sitting with a relative of mine, and he was complaining about something. Now we're in a nice house, comfortable house. Food was served by a servant. Now, are you going to have somebody who she hires to serve? Hire, so you could pay somebody to cook and serve while you sat and crossed your leg. And I said, look, this is not the kind of plate my mates used to eat. A relative of mine. So I don't know what I, now what I can't remember is whether I spoke. But I know I was so pissed, using American English, I got up and walked away. What I can't remember is what I told her, say, Auntie, it's not your fault. Though. That's part of it. I can't remember what I said it. Like, Auntie, it's not your fault. I just, you know, see, you're in a comfortable chair. Everything is okay. Food was served to food is available. By somebody you're paying, whose full-time job is to cook and serve you. You are that well-to-do. Now, the discussion is that this quality of plate... Most times I drink water in my house, I use a plastic cup so that you will know. I don't use glass cup. Do you know why? They usually are small size. God bless you. If you come to my house, see glass cup, I brought it to give you a drink. Me? I wouldn't enjoy you to use it. But when I want to drink, I drink almost... No. I drink half a liter in one gulp. It's gone down. Then they top it again. So who has time to be doing? Am I Chinese? Do I look Chinese to you? I don't have a problem with it. Look, can you use plastic? The problem why I don't like plastic, you know, it's difficult to wash. Yeah, that's all. Otherwise, what is the problem? All this with this China you used to eat, they break, don't they break? And they, some of them, they you don't even know the day they fell. You just pick them, they just split into two in your hand. Has it happened to you before? Yeah. Oh, you haven't experienced it? Those are things that never happened to plant. Now, where I'm going to... Yes, somebody made that a topic for grumbling. I just got up and walked away. Now, listen to me. No, we can laugh at this. It sounds silly. But that's how heaven looks at you. When you sit down and discussing, if you're living in this land, by now you have two cars. And God says, that's worthy of reasoning. It can take your time to use to assess your life. You need to go to Bible school. You are severely deficient. One day when I was in university, there was a brother we knew. He, you know, this kind of people that, I'm sure he had a vision, I'm sure. It wasn't just a desire. That once he leaves school, he's going to start a ministry. Do you know, he gave us the name of the ministry. He gave us the name. How he gave his life to Christ was miraculous. He gave his life to Christ at the crusade of one of these big men of God, if I mention the name, somebody, all of you here. If you don't know him here, you were born yesterday. All right? Yeah. This is a real genuine man of God. Okay? He described the fellow's life. He gave him accurately. This happened to you. You came from here. He was describing. He will continue to preach. I said, no, there's a young man here that God wants to save. I don't know where I get my point. The man had described him well. Just told my guy, you have one more minute, then I call your name. And he had never met him, of course. Holy Spirit, my guy stood up and ran. He gave the testimony himself, we were not there. Then one day, now listen to this. We finished school, he was our senior. You know, the ministry has been telling us about. He finished school, we were waiting for it. Then this, I must go abroad bug. They didn't start today. It started biting people long ago. Why? Family is there. People are calling. Now, what I'm telling you is not 20 years ago. It's not even 30 years. I'm so certain about that. So it's not today Nigeria started this thing. Now, let me tell you. See, there are headaches you are not allowed to have. There are problems you are not allowed to solve with, how do I say it? With a lot of zeal. If you want to go abroad, you are not allowed to pursue it. I'm giving that to you straight. With difficult. It shouldn't stress you. It's not allowed. It's not worth it. Once you have to start borrowing money to convince somebody you are what you are not, you have missed the will of God. See, I went to preach in a church 2 days ago. Was it 2 nights ago? I got to a time, I said something. Everybody said, Pastor, you have come to cause problem. I said, good. Can I cause more? There are times I say things I know they are not. In fact, the people told me, say, man, obviously there are a lot of people who are sitting down there waiting to hammer with crypto. So I just said, those of you who are trying to make money from crypto, poverty is waiting in front. Yeah, I felt the shock. Let me say it here too. It applies to you too, if you are here. First, you are a silly human being. Let's first get that clear. You don't know life. I won't say more than that. I told you last time, go and find work. What did I say? Go and find work. When I say work now, something that you can say, this is the impact I'm making in people's lives. You heard the joke of the guy who went out in the morning. He said, some people don't know how important they are in your life. Now, where is this Akara woman now? The woman didn't open shop that day. He said, meanwhile, I bought the bread. So the guy was stranded with bread in his hand. He got there. You know where they fry things. His ash is there, but the wood was cold. The woman didn't come to work that day. So the guy said, some people don't know how important they are in your life. And that's a matter of fact. That's what I'm talking about. Go and put yourself in a place where you're important in somebody's life. That if you don't show up, something will go out of order. That's what I mean by go and find work. I don't mean go and look for a way to make big money. Just a place where, if you're supposed to be there by 9, by 9:30 they don't see you, they start calling. Listen, let me tell you when you know to resign a job. Give them a test. You don't go to work one whole day, they don't notice. It's only HR that noticed. You know HR? People are coming around to check whether you're at work. That's a bad job. Go and find another one. You know what it means? You're not significant. If you're significant, if they don't see you in 24 hours, you know, 2 hours after work starts, somebody's already asking, hey, where's this guy? Where's this lady? After 5 hours, oh, where is she? Has anybody called her? Her phone is not going. Why? Do you know anybody? Do you know they're already looking for? And this is not about love now. This is, you are important. If you find a job like that, please don't just get up and resign anyhow. We have to pray hard. That is what life is about. One lady sent us a mail once. Mail was very fun. She said she didn't realize how important I was in her life. And I didn't show for Bible study like 3 consecutive Saturdays. Ah. She said, please, what happened to Pastor? He now said that, yeah. And I have not been praying for him. I don't know what I get my point. He said, no, I have to start praying for him because if anything happens to this guy, I will feel it. Mama, yeah, I'm doing an important job. Back to what I was saying. So that's, like I said, small aside there. I went somewhere to preach. Okay? So occasionally I say things that are not popular. And people are listening to me. A huge chunk have a different mindset. Now, this is what now let me address that matter. There are things you are not allowed to stress your head over. If you are borrowing money from everybody to show that you are rich, so they should give you a visa, please don't go. You know why? The foundation is faulty. It's a lie foundation. That is, the foundation is what? A lie. The foundation is a lie. That's the thing that I wanted to teach last time. I'll get into that today, okay? You know, last time I talked extensively. I hope many people learned lessons. Those who will sacrifice their marriage because of visa, residency. In fact, oh God, after I left here, I was getting messages from different persons, some of our brethren. Said, I've not seen that brother now wed sisters. Yeah, parents that did get a brother to marry a literal. Do you get my point? Siblings of the same parents. They will go and conduct a wedding ceremony just because they want to prove a point to one American agency or European because they want to move abroad. Now, you have to know that. See, please get my point. That is when you are beginning to listen to Satan's audiobook. Did you hear what I said? Satan has narrated a set of instructions for you and you are following. Precious sent me a message, one that she knows, that the kind of nonsense the young man had to take from the old woman, white woman that they made him marry. Because I've told you, go home. There's nothing wrong with staying in Amebu village. There's nothing wrong. I hope you're getting my point. There is nothing wrong. I mean, we knew the last Saturday to go and wed. Cool breeze. Go there. Start a poultry farm there. God will multiply you. God will increase you. What is this one that you are now marrying your mother? Because she's a white woman. Because you want to. You know, there are times God gave you freedom. You signing off, you know, to Satan for a morsel of meat. It's not everything you go through a headache, stress to acquire. It's not. There are some things you just say, no, like I said last time, it's not worth it. After all, this is not so that we can preach the gospel. And even if it was, this is not how the gospel is preached. Please bear that in mind, though. Stop. You see, being a Christian, it makes a huge demand on little things you do when you are making decisions. Let's do it like this, but it's not true now. Say, okay, I believe that. I can't. That is how you find yourself in the center of God's will. It's not by struggling. Oh. So I was telling a story about my guy who gave us ministry, name, and everything. Then the stress began to go abroad. That's where I'm going. The stress began. Now, this was before the days of biometrics. This was before the days of, now, you know when by biometrics? Scanning your fingerprints and, you know, all the facial recognition. So before the days. Those days, the only thing they used to identify you was a photograph and your signature. And which we all know, if you don't know it. A white man cannot tell the two of you apart. Yeah. People can, Joseph, they don't look alike to you, do they? They don't. But a typical white man cannot tell the two of you apart. Yeah, he can't. And in case you don't know, you can't tell a typical white man apart too. Before this biometric and everything, Nigerians used to do it. You get abroad, you package the passport and send it back to Nigeria. Your brother will just take it, walk in there. They can't tell. Just go to a country where they are mostly white. Don't go to where black Americans are the one checking. You know. They can't. No, recognition is not. It's not. You've seen identical twins. Their family people don't think they're identical. Their family people don't think they're. You're the one that think they're identical. When I was growing up, we had the identical as a family friend. So the brother is my age. You know, looking like that, he can't see the similarity between the two of them. So where I'm going is that. So those days, people used to do that. People used to sell passports. They used to steal passports. They have visas on it. They'll steal them. It's modern day that's not impossible because of biometrics. That was not a big deal. People used to do it. So my guy, how did he finally travel? That was what my guy bought. The minister that's planning to start ministry to travel abroad. No, I'm telling the whole story. One day I now met a lady, we all know him. He said, how is this guy? He said, well, I was talking about it. I was angry, like, why would a Christian do this? Like, this guy, he said, well, thank God he's doing well. I said, what do you mean he's doing well? He said, he has sent 2 cars home. Yeah. That he's doing well. And what's the sign that he's doing well? He has sent 2 cars home. A man who used to walk around bragging on the ministry that God has called him to, how he's planning to start it, now he's living in a foreign country where you don't know his real name, his certificate is invalid. There's a different name. He had a name like, something like Ibrahim Danladi. This is somebody whose original name was Joseph Dinwoke. So if you ever go abroad, you whisper to you, Danladi, okay? So you say, brother, if you won't want to visit him because you don't want to be part of this lie, brother Danladi. When did you become Danladi? When I knew your name was Joseph. You are Joseph. But why am I mentioning it? Somebody told me that, you see, he's doing okay. He has sent 2 cars home. You're not doing okay. You're confused. You're not doing okay. You're poor. You're miserable. You are blind. You're wretched. You're naked. It's not me. Jesus has said it too. There's no word I use, not I invented. I read it from the Bible. You sent 2 cars home. You are doing okay. Why are we talking about that? Do you get my point? As I said, that sometimes, you know, like I was preaching where I went there. I said, that this country, do you know what's wrong with it? I said, have they ever, now, when you want to assess, no, I'm not here to, I live in Nigeria, so I love it. Not because I love it, just because it's where God says, and so whatever it is, I learn to love whatever God has given to me. I hope you get my point. Okay, so I'm not trying to make it look like better than Ghana. Ghana is a lovely country. Rwanda is beautiful. UK is fine. Europe is okay. America is fine. Everywhere in the world is fine. Wherever God has placed you. But this is what I'm talking about. How many have you heard come to complain about this country to you, Ebuka? So the problem with Nigeria is that a man cannot even worship freely. Have you ever heard it? You know what I don't like about this country is that when you go to schools, your children cannot even pray openly. I'm leaving this country. I can't. I can't stay here anymore. They said they wanted to pray. They say we cannot pray. Have you ever heard that complaint? All of you are doing like you heard it too. You have not? Now let's be honest. What complaint about this country have you ever heard? Is it not about food? Is it not about shelter? Is it about how do I buy a house? You see, man, Christians, be careful. What God, when God is watching you, writing, what do you complain about? This power is not even constant. And this bloody prodigal, remember a bloody prodigal, doesn't manufacture anything. I keep on saying, you cannot complain about power if you are not into production of something. If it's just to sleep, my friend, sleep on the balcony. I served during NYC, I was in the north. Jonathan, that was zone. When it's hot, where do we used to sleep? Outside. It's a very common thing up north. I don't know whether things have changed. Those days, it was common. I remember one day I stopped at night. I was going back to my base. I look back, and if my children do that kind of travel, I will pray extra. I used to be angry with my mother for worrying. She should have worried. I'm worried was not. If she knew what we were inside, she would have worried some more. After changing vehicles like 8 times, you finally got to one village. Well, one town, not the village. I got to Bali that day. You remember Bali? The last one before Seti. And it was night. I looked around. No vehicle, of course, no vehicle will go again at that time. I said, looking, please, where are the coppers here? That's what you do. So as I arrived, the coppers welcomed me. I said, please, some of them recognized me from camp. Please, guys, I did go back, but may don't late. Okay, Just interesting story. They just made Eba. One massive bowl of Eba like this. They just gave me space. Like, we sat around it, so see your space. We sat down. I'm telling you. We sat down. All of us put our hands. Those kind of made in a massive bowl. Massive, not bowl, basin. Yeah. No, I'm not joking. Literally, it was not a bowl. It was a basin. We sat around it. Guys, everybody, they just made it when I arrived. They just said, our food is coming. They put it in that. They gave me space. I sat. Then when we finished, they showed me the corner where you can have a bath. I had my bath. Then, I still remember, that place was undulating. They brought out the big mat. That mat was from here to here, and they laid it down. I took one corner, put my bag on it. That was my pillow. Guys, good night. No, that's how we slept. All of us slept. That's you just see a row of men. They just gave me one corner. I just put my bag there, used my bag for pillow, and slept. Oh my God, those are beautiful stories. That's how soldiers live. Some people are complaining about this country. What are you complaining about? What are you complaining about power? What is your problem? You don't manufacture anything. Nothing. Now listen, I'm not saying lack of power is good. Did I say so? But it's not hard to endure. That's the point I'm making. I was in secondary school where we never had an iron. When you wash your clothes, you stretch like this, you fold it, put it under the mattress. Put the mattress on top and sleep. By morning, angels will have gone on that day and ironed it for you. When you come, walk up, it's straight. You wear your clothes. I'm talking about knowing how to what? Endure. But where I'm going with the whole thing is that when people want to tell you about the problems they have in this country, they never discuss anything that has to do with serving God. Go and start checking. They never discussed it. Now, let me tell you something about America, how it was founded. A lot of Europeans that went there, of course, there are a lot of people, but the Christians that went, you know what they went to look for? Freedom to worship. Is the reason why American Constitution separated church and state. Now, it has been corrupted now to mean the church cannot support any form of worship. You can't worship in church, any state building, in schools and all of that. No. But originally, they came from Europe where the king decided the church, the whole nation went to. So the King of England was crowned and is a Catholic. You all became Catholics. Yes. The Church of England started as a rebellion against the Church of Rome. That the Church of Rome would not come here to tell us what to do. The king wanted to marry a new wife. And he woke up and said, now, I will appoint my own bishops. That's where they started from. So when you get to America, those men went there because they were tired. They wanted to worship. They wanted to go to a place where they could worship. And the king is not telling them what church to attend, dictating their doctrines. Their brethren had been persecuted for believing the truth, for translating the Bible into English. People like Tyndale died. Now, that's what those men were fighting. I want you to understand it. That was what they were fighting. They were not just emigrating looking for food. They were like, I'm tired of living here. Let me go to a place where when I wake up in the morning and I put up my two hands to worship, nobody's reporting me to the king who says that the hands are supposed to be down during worship. I hope you're getting my point. When people come to you, they are complaining about what is wrong with this country. Ask them, how does that affect your worship? Is it not because your whole hope is in this earth or your talk? When we are servants of God, that's what I'm talking about. We understand that servants endure what? Hardship. You are concerned about, is this my posting from heaven? I said last time, we are on posting, we are soldiers. Soldiers, you can go to work in the morning and you receive what they call a signal. Report tomorrow in Damaturu. For what? Don't worry, just report there first. Just report first. So you quickly go home, pack. If your wife is not around, you leave a message. Because you have to travel overnight to get to Damaturu. You get there in the morning, you report. You now say, okay, Major Susan and so. Yes, sir. You are commanding this, and they have to go and invade this particular bush where they find bandits have been gathering, and they've been chosen to come and command that expedition. That's it. Work has started. And if they kill you in that process, they will export your body back to your wife. Sorry, they took you from her last week. They bring the corpse back to her after a week. But we are hoping it won't happen. But that is how these men live their lives. And nobody ever comes to complain about the terrain is not good. Is it we catch the enemy or we didn't? Do you follow the point I'm making? Let's bear in mind. So there is a posting. Christians are servants of God are posted. You don't just choose your own posting. You don't disobey others and God says, stay here. Your name is Jonah. And then you rise up in the morning. You say you are going to Tarshish. Your whole life is forfeit. That's it. Your life is forfeit. That is, God said, go to Nineveh and go and cry against Nineveh. Then you board a plane. Okay, ship. And you're heading for Tarshish. Like I keep on telling Christians, God was not threatening Jonah. God was killing him. Did you hear what I said? No, I don't know if you get my point. The drowning of Jonah was not threat. Was not a threat. It was not, let me try. You know what they call demo? Let me scare him small. No. God was not scared. There are times he scares people small. But that was not what he was doing with Jonah. In Jonah's case, he was killing Jonah. Jonah's life had been forfeited to him. Why? Because I said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, I am going to Tarshish. And what was Jonah's problem? Where God said go was not in confusion. I mean, it was not confusing. He knew. The only thing is he didn't like what God would do when he gets there. Let's not talk about Jonah now. Let's focus on the fact that it's like, let's not talk about his reasons. Let's focus on the fact that he went to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. When the ship began to, when the storm started, I was going to turn the ship over. He was trying to drown Jonah. When the men had the wisdom to check what the problem was, and they tossed Jonah overboard, there was no hope for deliverance. You know why Jonah survived? Because someone, maybe the Holy Spirit, helped him say, "Yourself, repent now." If he did not pray that prayer of repentance on time, he would have drowned permanently. Because we believe that he drowned temporarily. I believe that now. All right? That he literally died and the fish picked up his dead body. He wasn't in the belly of the fish wondering, "Why is this place dark?" He was dead. The Lord had to revive him. By the time the fish went to vomit him, that was the time he was revived. But what I'm telling the story is that he died because he went to Tarshish. You know why? It's called mutiny. He disobeyed the orders of HQ. What divine headquarters said to do, he disobeyed. So that's why he died. Please, people of God, let's not joke. I keep on saying, Christianity is, don't treat God like he's merciful, so let me misbehave, knowing that because he's merciful, he will forgive. Once you think like that, you've wiped out the mercy. Mercy is predominantly for the ignorant, not those who defy. When he began to, now let me tell you something about Jonah. Many Jonahs have died. And they did not write a book. See, let me explain. Let us assume there was one guy called, give me another name, other than Jonah. Jude, okay. Let's say Judah, all right? So there's one Judah who God sent to Nineveh, who did not go, who went to Tarshish, and who did not pray the way Jonah prayed. You know what happened? His bones dissolved at the bottom of that sea. And because he did not go to Nineveh, the book of Judah was not written as one of the prophets. Do you get my point? It wasn't written. Don't assume everybody who goes to Tarshish makes it back eventually to Nineveh. No. Many of them, they tossed them aboard. They were angry. Is this service by force? What kind of thing is this one? I don't want to go. The more you say, the more you drown. But what happened to Jonah? For one reason or the other, he went through the repentance process that we know about. And then he finally wrote his book. Is the reason why you know his story? That is not why how all the stories go. Moses, that went and finally delivered the people of Israel. It's not every Moses that made it through that Exodus 14. When God came to kill him. Many Moses, you know what happened to them? They still did not, by that time Moses had passed out. Moses was not in a position to do anything anymore. Who circumcised their son? The wife, Zipporah. Many people, their wives said, like, this boy is not going to be circumcised. The husband died like that. And you know why you don't know the story? Because they ended up not delivering Israel. So the commandments didn't come by them, so you don't know what happened. Don't assume that every Moses gets through that and escapes. Except you go through it and you're able to do the deliverance and get the books written. Nobody will know that you went through that. Many people, they didn't make it through that. I've thought about it before. Everybody know Jonathan in the Bible. Not this Jonathan at the door. The one in the Bible. The first Jonathan in the Bible. There are many Jonathans there. The one we know, at least the one everybody knows. What's the name of that one? Who's the name of that one's father? What? Saul. What was Saul? Now, Jonathan, was he a good boy or a bad boy? Was he a good man or a bad man? Was a good man. You know, he was the one that helped David. He strongly supported David even in the house of his father. Do you know he died? He died the same day as his father. Now, let me ask you, it's a simple thing. Did the death of Jonathan pain you? It pained me. When I was a young boy, it pained me that God, he was a good man. Let me tell you what God is saying. I told him to leave and go and follow David. He didn't go. That's all. He should have been one of the men of David. He was helping David, fine. But the time came, oh boy, leave that place and go and run with David. You know what he did? He didn't go. How can I do this? What will my father say? God told him once, told him twice. By the third time, he said, no problem. So I don't have a choice. I'm not angry. You leave me with no option. You will die with your father. As Christians, let's take this thing seriously. Look down on the prodigal side of you. Now let me just warn some of you wives and husbands who instigate your wife or your husband to disobey God. Let's talk about, what's his name? Moses. Who saved his life? Now, she caused the problem. I'm not saying she didn't. Okay, did she cause the problem? Yeah, she did. Yeah, no doubt. She was the one that caused the problem. Please, help your wife to serve God. Help your husband to serve God. Wives can be a problem. Husbands can be a problem. Two of you sit down in the house, and make up, at least say, want to pray. We will serve God in this household. Gather your children. If they are, even if they are too small, even if they are just sulking, you understand? 3 months old. You will serve, one who dedicated you in church, we meant it. You know, I said, this has to be done again and again. Because what saved Moses was that Zipporah quickly corrected her head. Please, I need to say this. See, this poverty won't kill you. What did I say? It won't. It won't. It can't. One thing you will notice is that you, at least God is giving you food to eat. Eat that food and be happy. The Bible says, check whether you have small food and whether you have clothing. He said, do you have those two? He said, what should you be? Content. Leave it like that. You don't have a car, should not cause grumbling. You don't have a big house, shouldn't cause grumbling. Your mates went abroad for holiday, you have never gone. Tell them you are in Pastor Banks' church. You know what I mean? In that regard. That we don't even like traveling. That's what I mean by being in Pastor Banks' church. That we know, we don't even like traveling. Is there things? Please, give me 2 more minutes. Learn how to manage your life. As a young man, learn it and enjoy it. Brag about it. I say, Angela, yeah, you didn't do your hair. It cost me too much money, so I went to cut it. Don't say, you know, my skin reacts to Brazilian hair. It doesn't react, you know. What reacts is your pocket. So, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes. Plait your hair nicely and listen, don't hide. Where I'm going is that if you can't afford those things, you know what you do. And that's the commandment I'm giving on God's behalf. Proudly tell your friends, I am not buying because I ain't got the money. Don't quote scripture. Are you getting my point? That you see, you know, vanity upon vanity. You know, no need. Say the way it is. It's pretty expensive. I need to change my phone. That's not my priority. I hope you're getting my point. See, I'm telling you how to manage your life, but let me not sit on it too much. Poverty won't kill you. What did I say? Yes, I need to tell Christians that one. Stop following pastors that make the other one. I heard that one pastor was preaching in Abuja. Please, let me, in case you heard that, Pastor, I don't know you, so nothing personal. But what you are saying was bad. And that's being nice of me today. Normally, I would use words worse than that. You heard this kind of joke that it takes a billionaire to get the body of Jesus Christ. That when Jesus was crucified, the riffraff ran away. Peter is a riffraff. Yes, it's a riffraff. It's my riffraff. I'm proud of him. John is a riffraff. He ran away. John is my riffraff. I love him. Somebody actually said, the same person said that the devil is not afraid of your prayer or your holiness. He's afraid of your money. Now, you know that is a lie told by the devil himself. That man didn't know when he was inspired by Satan. How can you open your mouth? Even if I crack jokes a lot, but I won't say that one. The devil is not afraid of prayer. He's not afraid of holiness. He's afraid of money. In case you do not know, he has more than you do. Physically speaking, he had more than Jesus Christ. That's why he could tempt Jesus with it. Can I go now and go and tempt maybe Koscharis? Cosmas Madoka. I say, oh God, see, if you just come, lie for me small, I give you $1 million. The guy will give me $2 million to shut up. Do you get my point? Yes. He will give me $2 million to shut up. Like, give that boy to me and tell him to get out from here. He will not call it a temptation. He will call it an insult. So when we call that this Jesus did, the Satan did to Jesus a temptation. You know what it means? Physically speaking, he had more than Jesus did. Jesus needed money, was fishing. Satan wouldn't fish you. He will give you a bar of gold. You know when Jesus needed money, what did he go to do? Take Peter to go and do what? And cash. You know why? Judas had taken everything. There was nothing remaining. There was nothing remaining. Physically speaking, at that time, Satan had more money under his control than the kingdom of God on the earth had. Let's not hide his fact. See, as of today, gather all the money in the hands of the Christians worldwide together. Then let the Muslims start answering you. When Sheikh bin Rashid Al Maktoum brings out money, you will be humbled. Don't use money to preach this gospel. It's not a money contest. Brethren, let us get it clear. The gospel is not a money contest. Let me tell you what Sheikh bin Rashid Al Maktoum flies around. A jumbo jet. Most people, listen, let me explain. Most people, when they want to fly, they say this man is rich. He has a private jet. He buys a Learjet. He buys a Gulfstream. An expensive Gulfstream, the top of the real Gulfstream, I don't know about now, was $60 million. Sheikh Al Maktoum, I think he bought his Boeing 747 or 7, one of those 7 series, $400 million for one plane. That normal billionaires buy Gulfstream for $60 million. That is what separates the rich boys from the normal millionaires. Same price for his ship, his boat. Please, stop talking nonsense. Now, don't enter into a contest God didn't bother to register for. It's not about lack of power. To him, is the world. He has given it. Look, it's not an issue. The same man enter his palace. They use real gold to do tap for you. Faucets to open and collect water from a sink. You touch it, you are touching gold. He's one of the richest I know, but he's not the only rich one. If you are looking for where money is buried on this earth, go to the Middle East. They have the money like crazy. And God doesn't bother to come. So when Christians now bring money contest to church, I think your problem is ignorance. You don't even know. If you want to get into the money contest, Satan will defeat you so badly, you will backslide. And they are backsliding. Let me not mention the name of the church. One Pentecostal church in Nigeria, one of these big ones. I watched a video in Abakiliki as a pastor there, resident pastor, converted to Islam. Not they told me. I opened my eyes and I watched it. As a man denounced his Christian faith and took up the Islamic faith in Abakiliki here a few years ago. So what is it? Look, what is one that you want to turn Christianity into a money contest? Satan will beat you silly. It's his natural habitat. That's where he's strong. God gave it to him. He came to your Lord and mine and said, it has been given to me. Bow to me. And many people are bowing now so they can collect from him. They are bowing to today. That's what the Bible warns. If you have food and raiment, Be happy. Be content. Like I told you, practice your life to be able to enjoy, you know, survive things like that. Stop having appetite for things you can't afford. Stop admiring it. Don't bother. Do you get my point? Don't even admire it. Don't go there. This world is stacked, when it comes to money, it's stacked in a very vanity way. When you see what people spend buying perfumes and buying watches, buying jewelry, just look for what now? You now be feeling inferior because your perfume is not smelling like that guy's own. What is your problem? Like I keep on telling you, ladies, never marry a man because of the quality of wedding he's offering you. It means nothing. There was a wedding, I was there, not they told me. It lasted 1 month. Let me explain. After the wedding, this guy and this girl took a tour of Europe. From there, went to America. They toured. After a month, the girl came back home. The guy said, I'll be back later. Let's make a long story short. That was the day the marriage ended. So we leave these things now. Leave these things now. People have just gone to one corner, signed papers, and they just shared biscuit and soft drink. And then 30 years later, they are giving testimony. They cannot give the wedding of their of everybody's dream to their own children. A wedding is not... Christian ladies, stop watching Hollywood movies of wedding. The godly ones in the land, let them be your true hero. Lavish weddings are done by parents, not by the people who are wedding. So if your parents can't do it, relax your brain. When I wedded, my cake had 22 pieces. 22. Yeah. You couldn't layer it to reach heaven. So they had to layer some and put some round. I counted. Not. I can show you the picture. Count by yourself. If you think I will show you the photo. Come on, count this thing. You think I paid? Could I pay? See, if you sent me out as a hired servant for 2 years, I couldn't pay. One day I entered my in-law's sitting room. I sat down. My mother-in-law said, hey, Banky. I said, yes, mom. He said, you have not paid for your wife's cake. I said, no problem, ma. How much is it? He said, how much do you have? My friend's father just sent me money. That your so my friend said, my dad said I should give you money that because you are getting married. So it was a bundle of two. This 2020 are those days, not this long ago. You know, the value of money has changed now, so I can't remember. So he just gave it to me, so it was in my pocket. So I brought out the bundle and I dropped it on the table. And my mother-in-law put her hand in it, took a few pieces, put it in her pocket. Take your money back. That's all I paid for the cake. Deep, just, you know the way it is. It was a bundle of cash. See, when you see those lavish experiences that do it, if your father can't afford it, your mother can't afford it, leave it. Threaten the world that you do it for your children. Threaten the world that you do it for your children. It is just is not what makes... Are you getting my point? So stop. By now, you should know whether, from what I have told you now, you've checked your parents, you've checked the guy's parents. Don't lie. Don't harass anybody. If they bring you money for big wedding, go and use to rent a house. Don't be silly. Any wedding you can't do, keep it. You get my point? Just wait for your first daughter. See, I will avenge myself of my adversaries on you. See, now, I'm not guaranteed that, but chances are by that time, if that's the way your life is going, God will have blessed you. You now call your daughter, Ada. So, Chinedu wants to marry you. Abi. I have closed Amadi for 1 week. Daddy, 1 week? Yes. Why? I can do it. I don't need it, but I just have to do it to avenge myself of my adversary of 30. That as that. And so I hope all your friends, you've gathered everybody, so tell them that wedding is every evening. See, people will come. See. People will come. See. Let me not start telling story. You know the way it is in villages. You just tie one cow there, here. You know, you pay for the whole week now. It's not, somebody is there swearing the thing every night. You'll be amazed. Just put DJ inside, make the play music. They put your pictures everywhere. Just they dance. Ah, oh, tonight, we want to just tell one long grammar. Now food will come, chop. They've got this. We will come. So the wedding continues tomorrow. The time is 5 o'clock. We should be closing around 9 o'clock. Between 6 and 8, the whole town will food there. If we don't finish all the cows, we aren't going home. Do it. There are some things, just go and meet God. Say, Heavenly Father, you know I prayed, avenge me of my adversaries. Can I go and fight the war now? God said, go. I am with you. See, God never objects when it is food. People are eating it. No, I've been to, you know, so when I follow my wife, when we go to my in-laws' village, ah, that one, I used to just sit down and just be watching them. People go, you know, chop. People, villagers were coming in, going out. People would just, they chop. I said, God is happy. Some of you, when they say in the village, bring money for this, you are quarreling. Please, I command you, stop quarreling. Share his food. Share his drink. Share his party. Please, God goes there. Don't worry. If you don't have beg, don't fight. He said, how are you burying somebody for 1 week? The guy wants to eat. There's nothing fetish about the 1 week burial. If you don't have money, negotiate. Do you get my point? If you have, please generously release it. Let them be eating. They will be praying for you. They can't carry it to Covent. Forget that. That's how to avenge yourself of what? Adversity. When the time comes. That's my emphasis. For now, the battle, the journey is still far. No need. Don't stress your head. Don't make important decisions on silly things. That's the point I'm making this whole talk. You cannot. You are forbidden. I mean, important man wants to marry you. You don't want to marry him because of the wedding they cannot afford. Your name is Jonah. This Jonah is not repenting. You know, there are things you will present before God. He knows he's going to do you strong things. As you are presenting it, God said, this girl, me and you have personal problems. He's a nice man, no? He's serving God. But Lord, that's why they do your nails on. If I marry him now, you don't understand. The guy doesn't even believe in honeymoon. He believes in retreat, thank you. And you bring that to God in prayer. See, if you are young enough, God would cancel wedding for you for at least 6 years. See? No marriage, nothing. Just go home. 6 years, we'll talk again. While you grow in faith. But if you are supposed to know and you talk that nonsense, you carry the guy and carry him away. And you sit, you watch him marry somebody far better than you. That's what he will do. That's how he plays people like you back for your stupidity. Let me stop that. That's not my main message. Look, I found out something. Somebody reported somebody to me that when he finishes his distraction, he'll still finish his message. So I'm trying to learn that one because I've not started my message. It's this guy that taught me. I will keep you the whole morning one day, not today. But I'm planning it. Once I start like this, if I don't finish, I will do you Chris Delvan and Gilead Connie combined. If I don't finish my message, you are not going home. If it's 2 o'clock, thank God. And if it's 5 o'clock, but it's not today. So feel, don't be. Okay, it's actually don't combine Chris Delvan and Gilead Connie. That was 48 hours. But no, jokes are bad. As Christians, we should learn to endure. Are you getting my point? Sit down with the gospel. Anyway, let me go on with my message. Let's get back to the main thing I'm trying to say. But the good thing about it is that in saying all of these things, we may be laughing, but I've started the real message for the day. I was going somewhere. Now, let's read this particular scripture. You know, I did all of that talking. What? This clock correct? No. Yeah, it looks correct though. Look, I will do small today. I will do the full one another time, but I must preach my message. You are not going home today until I've ventilated my spirit. I must do the work of him that sent me. Yes. The Lord is good. Now, we read this last time. Let's read it again. Because, now, let me just remind us. I picked 7 things, right? That I said are important, that are already determined. Things that are determined, predetermined. We said God has a predetermined purpose. He has predetermined timing. Last time we talked about timing. I already mentioned again today, number 3, he has a predetermined place of abode or places of abode because they do change, okay? Then he has a predetermined spouse you are to marry. If marriage is part of your calling. He has predetermined achievements. It's not everything that is yours to achieve. You are a pastor. Another church built a big school and they built this. Doesn't mean you will do that same thing. It doesn't mean it. All right? You have a predetermined length of life and there's a predetermined reward. And God's desire for all of us is that we will fit into the predestination he has for us in all these areas. Now, predestination, let me quickly say this, does not mean it must happen. Predestination means it was designed. Yeah, thank you for that word. Predestination means it was designed. This is what he wants. However, being free, free moral agents, like we said, being human beings, the way God loves us to be is that we will freely, notice that, freely fit into that which he has predetermined. He doesn't force it upon you. He expects you to freely fit inside it. Now listen, when I say doesn't force it upon you, doesn't mean he can't help you to enter into it. You have to, however, have made agreements, dedications, you know, let me use the word vows, submissions. You will have had to come to him to say, Lord, I desire to fit. Let me fit. Help me. So even though you don't know, he will lead you there. For example, your name is Abraham. You may not know the very land he's going, taking you to, but at least you have agreed to walk with him. You've agreed to walk, to enter into covenant with him. He persuaded you. He woos you like a man woos a woman, but then you will agree. Do you get my point? It's only after you have agreed that he starts using, can I use a word? Let me borrow it. He starts using force. It starts compelling you. It starts guiding you with a bit of force, sometimes with a lot of force. Sometimes it's saying that will rule over you by force. But that's because you first of all did what? Entered into an agreement. You first entered into an agreement. And if you don't do that willingly, listen, predestination will not happen to you. That is that which he planned, that which he determined, you will not experience it. And that's what we're talking about. It is something that you will by yourself say, hey, this is what I want to do. That is, I want to yield. Why people like me, that is, the calling we have is to explain to you, all right, to the church, just from the scriptures also, as an example, that the will of God is good. That's part of persuading Christians to yield to it. To persuade us that the will of God is acceptable. That some people think that if I marry the husband that God appointed, I will not enjoy marriage. Lie. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, please, listen. What I'm telling you. Because unconsciously, we build in our hearts that, listen, no, God always wants you to marry a missionary in the jungle. So, yeah, it's true. Some people just, you know, it's unconscious in our hearts, you know. It's as if anytime you make a choice for God, it's always a huge sacrifice. It is a sacrifice as if you've sacrificed yourself. Nothing special about that one. You sacrifice your whole life when you give your life to Christ. Do you get my point? Yeah. But we unconsciously think we always have a better plan than God has. So if we yield to his plan, we'll lose out and we'll suffer small. Because the fear of missing out. I will now miss out on all the good. Now let me just say it to you again. is the exact opposite. If you go your own way, you may enjoy it initially, but at the end of the day, you will miss out. If you go God's way, I don't know how the beginning may look like, but eventually, you will forever, eternally be grateful to God. You follow the will of God. I hope you are getting my point. Bear that statement in mind. So the will of God is good. We've established that. But what we have now been saying, let's now open that. Let's read that particular portion of the scriptures we read last time. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Please remember what I said, though. Don't forget it. If somebody wants to grumble to you about this country, wait for him to complain about his freedom to worship, our ability to obey God or do the will of God. And I think we owe each other these days to lead each other in righteousness. You see, everything you have complained to me, bro, now, is all flesh. Give me a spiritual complaint. If it doesn't have, tell him to go and look for it. It's amazing how people will sacrifice the eternal for the temporal. When the commandment of God is that we should do what? Sacrifice the temporal to gain the eternal. You say, you know, if your child goes to school abroad now, they will not have holiday, they will not have interruptions in the course. So, but if he goes to school in Nigeria now, sometimes ASU will go on strike. Sometimes it is NASU. Another time it is SANU. Tell the person, can we leave that? Let's for a moment talk about the spirituality of our children. In all these circumstances, where would be the best place for them to learn faith? Then when you start hearing, you know, faith is personalized in the heart. Just know these people are not serious Christians. End the discussion. Yeah. Is success not in the heart also? Why is it only faith you want to not make allowance for? Do you get what I'm trying to say? We should help each other. Let's start correcting one another. You're a single lady, your friend wants to marry, one brother wants to marry her, and she's saying that, you know, is that giving you fleshly things? Drag her to the spiritual. Say, but that guy can pray, Sha. You know, it's in our fellowship. He can pray. And he loves the Lord. Drag, do you get my point? As they are pulling you this way, pull them back. You say, well, thank God he has a predetermined purpose for our lives. What we just need to do is locate which one. Drag them to the spiritual. I was talking to somebody recently. She's not a believer. I don't know how to be, but she's a senior. So, you know, this country is finished. I said, we'll collect it back. Everyone she dropped, I dropped one. So, they have sold this country. I said, we'll buy it back. So, this country is finished. I said, we'll restart it. No, that is, by the time we're done, she knew that me, I no go budge. I no agree. I don't know, every young man should leave, just get out of this country. I said, those of us who will stay behind will inherit the land. You know, I just kept on dropping one thing after another. See, there's arguments I won't get into. Whether the country is finished or not. Let's agree, for example, it is finished. We will restart it. That's what I kept telling her. They have sold this country. This is all these old men, they've sold it. I said, we'll buy it back. We will inherit the land. What is this country again? We will put something inside. I just kept on accepting what response. I was one of my younger colleagues was there. As I see him, he will no. I was like, okay, why are you dragging me? I said, no, I will drag you into it. Drag the discussion always back to the spiritual. There's a way you disagree with your elders, very subtly. No. This country, there's nothing remaining here. God will put something for us. You're not. Can you see what you are doing? You didn't say the old man is wrong. But you know, he cannot argue against God. You know, there's something about putting the name of God in these things. Everybody, they mellow. Are you getting my point? They will not open their mouth and say, God will not help you. He said, this country has been two wars before. But you know, God sustained us. He will do it again. He will do it again. Once you say it like that, most people, what do they say? Amen, amen. The amen is amen, no, but it's amen too. Do you get my point? I'm giving you that as a, you know, as a technique. a method of life. Keep, you know, drag the thing back to the other end. He said, hey, your children, go. Meanwhile, you that they are telling. You don't have money for anything apart from UNN, Esut, NIU. Then maybe Coast City University, Godfrey Okoye. What's the name of one Agbani? Renaissance. You know, but they are now looking for that. You should be looking for $15,000 every year before upkeeping allowance, which you don't have. But Pastor, I can pray for it. Is that how you prayed to build a house? You have not built it yet. Look at you. Is that you? I don't know whether you're getting my people might be talking about it. I can pray. You have not prayed for that thing. So relax. Take your life step by step. When I tell that, you see, if your child goes, you'll be delayed. Say, at the end of the day, Sha, he will get to where he's supposed to get to in this life. They can't say, they can't argue with that. Don't let them put doubt in your head and you go away. You now go home, especially maybe you are the woman, you now go home. Your husband will say, how was today? I don't want to talk. Honey, what is it? Nothing. And your mind, why did I marry this guy that time? Satan is confusing you. Fight your battles before you get back. Tell them, say, what will happen? Say, God will help us. No. When they will get to, they will say, you just start adding little jokes. Say, do we even, you know, it will be like a joke. Do we even know the degree that Dangote has? We don't even know. You laugh. Now he's reducing price of petrol. You laugh. Then you tell the story of Koscharis, Cosmas Maduka. You know, it was a poor boy that married a rich girl. No, there are stories to start telling. Start telling stories, making statements that will force them to agree with you. If God is on our side, who can be against us? So what we just need to do is make sure that God is helping us. So these children, you have to give them an advantage. These children, you have to give them an advantage. It's true, our children need an advantage. They do. The other day, just I was in church, my pastor was saying that any child that learns righteousness and justice can never fail in this life. You have dropped one. After some time, they will stop talking to you. Because you will not give their spirits rest. Listen, don't let anybody, you know, God has helped me for a long time. Oh God, God has been on my life for a long time. The only day I felt bad that I can remember like that in my life concerning circumstances that drove me to prayer. No, to crying. The Holy Spirit woke, that is, stop, like my friend, will you zip your mouth and stop that nonsense cry? I told you the story. When my friend said he was going abroad and I wasn't, and he explained that he needed to help his family. And it wasn't just small thing. He said, my sister needs heart surgery. Who else will pay when the time comes? It drove me to go. I felt bad that day. That not even, I was just thinking about will of God, will of God, will of God, will of God, will of God. As I was there lamenting and feeling horrible, and I began to shed tears, the Holy Spirit tapped me, and I heard it clearly in my heart. Except a man hates his father, his mother, his brothers, his family, the whole physical people that you are worried about now, he can't be my disciple. I heard many things in that statement too. One of them being that you think you can love them more than I? And let me tell you something about your burdens in this life. Carry them to God. Don't hold it by yourself. I don't know what I hear what I said. When they finish telling you like that, if that thing comes to you and is real, just wait, like I said, till everybody has slept. Then wake up, write it down. Say, Lord, you know my friend's sister needs heart surgery. My own sister needs brain surgery. No, write it down. Get on your knees and tell the Lord about it. He has more sense than you. He has more resources than you have. And you know what? He works wonders. He works wonders. He works in miraculous ways. The problem is that we like to carry our burdens. You go and tell the Lord. You know, I was telling my wife yesterday. I said, there's one brother, every time I see him on social media, I'll be laughing. You know why I laugh? You see, a man struggling to do ministry. When God gave him a whole ministry. I don't know where I get my point. Like, let's say, you see this kingdom word now. You see the kind of things that we do. People come here to, you know, hear the word, we broadcast and all of that. Then one day somebody gives me American visiting visa. And I travel to America, I don't come back. So kingdom word closes. You now see me trying to do kingdom word on Twitter. Praise God, if you have joined us this morning, you'll be looking like, this guy is a goat. No, you'll be looking like, that is one that you're not trying to beg us to join you on Twitter. We gave you this side of space in Enugu. We gave you the number of radio stations to broadcast the gospel. You went to place invitations coming here and there for you to. Now you are begging people. Why? Because Issachar is a strong donkey. When he saw that the relative labor was good, that you now become a slave at first labor just because you see that the ground is good. See, I had an experience recently. I won't share it now. And I thanked God for it. I said, it helped me to learn to pray again. I thought I had learned to pray. Then God showed me that the arm of flesh fails. Arm of flesh doesn't fail every time. It feels when the breath of God blows upon it. You won't know. We don't know when that's going to happen. You know what I'm talking about? It. So arm of flesh may have been helping you for a long time. But the breath of God will soon blow upon it. He said, all flesh is grass. And the goodliness thereof, that is like the flower of the field. He said, the grass withers. The flower fades. When? When the breath of God blows upon it. Well, so what am I saying? Many times you've been enjoying this arm of flesh. You don't know it's because the breath of God has not yet blown. And the day it blows, you will realize that you have been relying on nothing. So instead of losing your own energy to try and solve your problems, please go and pray. Go and learn to pray. Go on your knees and say, Lord, this is the problem. My sister needs to have heart surgery. The only way I know, humanly speaking, now, to get that kind of money, is to go out of where I believe you have planted me. Lord, please. I can't live where you said I should be. I can't. But this burden call, Lord, help. Now let me give you the word of the Lord today. It will help quicker than you could have done it. I can give you 10 different ways by which it might help, but no need telling any stories. But you just discover that the problem has been solved. You know, he can, you know, my wife and I discussed about this. I said, one of the greatest, you know, somebody, are you rich or poor? I said, I'm rich. But you know, one of the greatest things I have as wealth, you know what it is? The problems I don't have. I don't know whether you're getting my problem. And look, and that's, I'm very careful. Very, I don't like inventing problems. I don't like inventing problems. Some people invent problems. Just wake up, say, man, this 1 million you have can become 3 million. No, I don't want it to be 3 million. This 1 million I have shall be spent, enjoyed. Every naira in it will do the will of God. Because in trying to turn it to 3 million now so MMM go zap your money. Some of you have carried all your money now, put it in crypto. They say, buy the dip. Oh, legele, baya. Suto leke, baya to lema, suzuba, Christo heba. Ele sutara basa sato keboyala. See, there was a time, according to Mark Cuban, Yahoo price, share price was $300. In a few weeks, it dropped to $5. It did not recover. Buy the dip, die the dip. Who told you it's a dip? Hutod is not a cliff. It's going into the ocean. Thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. The day that will happen, you will not know. They are telling you, it's always been like this. I said, when the breath of God blows upon it, you don't want to be there when the breath blows. A word is enough for the wise. I don't like inventing problems. God has given me a lot of peace of mind. One of the greatest things he has given me is problems I don't have. I thank God for the problems I don't have. And I don't manufacture. My children know. There's nothing you want to learn that they can't teach you in Nigeria. Say, this one, you go to UI and go and learn it. You go to Covenant University. You go to American University in UI. What's the name of that one? If they can't teach you there, your brain can't absorb it. You ain't going to give me. See, faith has quantities. I hope you get my point. The faith I'm using to look for dollar I can't get is denying me. Do you get my point? Because there's faith that we are using to bring the power of God so that when we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I'll not be using to look for dollar. Man of God, is it good? I have a rule. I don't invent problems. I will not look for money to send any of these children to school. When UNN has not closed shop, all my children go to school in Enugu. All. Every single. All of them. All. Where am I going? I will not invent headache for myself. I'm talking to some people. Some people, it's their wives that have helped them invent headache. Yes. And I'm telling men like that, stand your ground. What did I say? When Adam did not, that's where you are today. Some of you like to brag, my child is in Switzerland. What is all of it? See, do you know, Dangote is not God, but it's a good example. I don't know where he was when he was 18. What matters is now he built a refinery. Your child will build something bigger than that. Relax. See, children learn if they want to learn. If they want to learn, they will learn. Who am I preaching to today? I mean, let me finish my message. Some people have not slept yet. They are warring heaven. Heaven says, I'm not giving you. Some people can't give in church again. All the money has been converted to a foreign currency. Then when dollar is something we are abusing Tinubu, say, which is it? Is it me that told you to send your children to where you can't afford? What you don't have control over? So that's a prophetic word for some people. You're having problems, inventing trouble for yourself. See, the blessing of God makes rich. Is that sorrow I'm talking about? It doesn't add sorrow. So relax. When your life is being filled with sorrow, you are not operating by the blessing. When your life is constantly being filled with sorrow because you want to do something, you have left the blessing behind. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. How do I know that predetermined will? That's what we're talking about. How do I know it? Now, last time I read this analysis for you, if you read the Bible in basic English, it said, come, I will take you to a land into which I will be your guide. In verse 1, it says, go out from your country and from your family and from your father's house into the land to which I will be your guide. I took time out to study that because I know that most versions use the word show. This one says, I will be your guide. And this sounded so appropriate considering the experience of Abraham. What am I going to say? You don't always know ahead. Do you follow my point? You don't have to have a picture of it ahead. But God guides you there slowly, step by step, little by little, until you finally get to the place. Is what I want to emphasize. How do I know the predetermined will? How do I know the predetermined location? How do I know the predetermined purpose? How do I know the predetermined achievements? How do I know the predetermined spouse? I said last time, I need to repeat it. Knowing there is one is a huge chunk of the journey. I need to say that again. Just accepting when you want to pray that, Lord, I'm not telling you this is the kind of place I like to live in, or the kind of woman I would like to marry, or the kind of husband I would like to marry. No. I'm telling you, who is the one that you have appointed? Where is the one that, or is the place that you have appointed? There's nothing like, this is a good place for sacrifice. No. Is this Mount Moriah? Is this a mountain? Is this a specific peak on that mountain that God wants, or it isn't? Just having that thought in your mind is a huge chunk of the journey. Sometimes, listen, as you grow, and that's what I'm trying to explain, God teaches you precepts because he doesn't go against his own precepts. And when precepts have been revealed to you, they become your guide that God said he will be. I hope you get my point. Let me explain. Judas is dead. Things are out of order. There are now 11 instead of 12. And like we say, 12 is the number of apostleship. So Peter comes up and says in Acts chapter 1, he said, the word of God had to be put into effect which the Holy Spirit has said before by the mouth of David about Judas, who was guide to those who took Jesus. For he was numbered among us and had his part in our work. I'm in verse 18. Now let me jump to 19. And this came to the knowledge of all those who were living in Jerusalem, so that the place, he was talking about how Judas died. So let's jump to 20. From the book of Psalms, it says, let his house be waste, and let no one be living in it, and let his position be taken by another. For this reason of the, now listen to this, for this reason of the, look at the Bible, if you are following. What did he say? Verse 21. For this reason of the men. Did you notice that? First qualification, had to be a man. Of the men who had been with us all the time. Number two, they had been with us all the time. While the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, starting from the baptism of John till he went up from us. We look for one who will be a witness with us of his coming back from death. That is his resurrection. So one had to be with us all the time, including witnessing the resurrection. The resurrection had to be witnessed for you to be one of the 12. It's the reason why Paul could never have qualified. There are people that have said that Paul was a 12th apostle. Now let me just quickly drop that doctrine. Some of us have gone to learn it. That they did this before the Holy Spirit came, so they were not led by the Spirit. Holy Spirit had not yet come, so they are not led by the Spirit. That if they are waiting for the Holy Spirit, they will have known that Paul was the 12th apostle. Listen that, to that thing, eh? It's not true. Listen to this, it's not true. What did I say? Why? The 12, the apostles of the Lamb, were supposed to be eyewitnesses of his resurrection. Paul was not. Paul never saw Jesus while he was alive on the earth. The first time he saw Jesus was on that road to Damascus in a vision. That was not valid for the ministry these people had. Do you get my point? But these people physically, they saw him, they touched him, they ate with him before crucifixion and ate with him after resurrection. Do you get? But let's just continue. He says, starting from the baptism of John till he went up from us. So after they went through the whole household, they selected how many persons? Just two. And they made selection of two. Joseph, named Barsabbas, whose other name was Justus. That guy has a way of confusing us. There are four names there. He collected three. Which one should we pick now? Let's take Joseph or Justus. Whose other name was Justus? And the second person was Matthias. And they made prayers and said, Lord, Okay, sorry. It sounded funny. I'm still reading Bible in basic English. Yes, I was. Let me translations already open. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they all prayed, "O Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these will be the best apostle, the most energetic, the most fitting to replace Judas." Was that what they said? Was that what they said? I hope you are following me. Was that what they said? What did they say? The one that you have? The one you have chosen. Please, we have to appreciate this. This appointment by God. They didn't say, "Lord, which one will be the best? Which one will be the best?" He said, "Which one did you choose?" Now, why did they narrow God down to two? That's where I'm going. Why didn't they just pray? And now, listen, this is the pattern. Please read my book, Guided by the Spirit. I explained it inside there. Life has a pattern. What did I say? Yes, it has a pattern. And part of spiritual growth and development is learning the patterns that apply to your life, specifically as a believer. Life has a pattern. He could have prayed like this: "Dear Lord, there are 120 people here. Which one of them have you chosen?" Let me say something to you. Faith is vital even to hearing from God. It's most certainly more difficult for him and the rest of them as believers to have the faith to pick out of that 120. So what did God do? I told you, faith and faithfulness is the same thing. He taught them precepts and said, "This is how it goes. What you are looking for is a witness to resurrection. Let's start with that. Stop telling me to pick." I could randomly, do you think picking Matthias? Who did they pick just now? Huh? Did we read up to that? No, we didn't. Okay, let's just... No, we just read when they say which one. Yes. Uh-huh. But just read it for me. My Bible's already closed.
"Put forward two men."
Yes.
"Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And he prayed and said, 'You Lord, who knows the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.'"
Mm-hmm.
"And they drew lots for them."
Yeah.
"And the lot fell on Matthias."
Thank you. Let's stop there. Now, I'm going to bring out another issue. They drew lots. Sometimes people say, "No, you don't draw lots. The Holy Spirit leads you." Please, all that talk here is spiritual talk. It's not scriptural talk. I went through that too. You know, a lot of Christians like this hyper-spirituality. Please, I want to beg you. Drop it. It's not necessary. You know what I call hyper-spirituality? You wake up in the morning. Your wife says, "What do you want to eat?" You go and pray about it. It's hyper-spirituality. A man at your age does not know what he wants to eat. You have stomach problem. Even if you do, you should know the thing that worries your stomach, what doesn't worry your stomach. It's not a sign that you are spiritual. It's a sign that you are fake. If my wife says, "What would you like to eat?" What's the first thing I say? What are the options? Thank you. Say, "Well, I could make pap. Or would you like me to toast bread and egg? I will quickly boil yam." She won't say, "You will like amala with a wedu." Not in the morning, not in our house. I don't know whether you are getting my point. "Should I quickly get fufu with banga soup?" It's breakfast, come on. It's a narrow range of options that you will have. That is true spirituality. I just say, let me pray. Kados, kodos, gudus, gadas, geles, gulas, gudus, gida. My spirit says, I hear stockfish. Brethren, please now, stop now. I'm begging you people, stop all of these things. That's not how we live normal lives. Those things happen once in a while. Some people not turn it, you know, it happened to them. once in 8 years concerning one unique situation. They want to turn it to, you see, if you are in the spirit, this is how you should live. It's not true. How many times did Jesus walk on water? How did he cross the water most times? Boat. Stop standing by the road. We are going to Lagos. Spirit of Philip. Philip's spirit. Philip. Mekoskayado bidaba ya lagasa. Oh boy, buy flight ticket. If you can't buy flight ticket, go to Autostar. Go to ATM. Go to Green, whatever it is. If you can't pay that one, go to luxury. But there are so many options. Does not include standing at the junction. Shiko yoba. Ebo. Ele. Eto. You're a Buddhist. You're not a Christian. Christians take this spirituality thing until they become, they make a mockery. The normal way people go to Lagos, the normal way, brethren, is we either take a bus, take a car, or take a flight. Well, no, I don't want, then take a bicycle and ride. Take a few weeks to get there, but you'll get there. Once in a while, I heard the story of one man of God. Those days in Nigeria here. He was supposed to preach. We're in the East now. This happened in the West, but let's just use East as an example. Supposed to preach in Oka or Onitsha by 7 o'clock. He's doing a program here. Holy Spirit took over. Since morning, 5, he was still preaching here. They were trying to tell him, Baba, you're supposed to be in Onitsha. Meeting started, you're supposed to, he'll call you up by 7. This one in Onitsha, I started the program. No phone, nothing. Not now. Finally, around maybe 6:45, he finished the meeting here. You know, even if you have a car waiting, an hour and a half, that's everything going smoothly. Good road, no checks. Drive straight to the other place. So the man left the hall, opened the door to go out of this particular meeting hall. That door that he opened was the entrance door to the place in Onitsha. Did you hear what I said? He opened the door to step out of a hall in Enugu. That same movement turned out to be the door of the hall in Onitsha. I don't want to give the name because I didn't personally verify many of the things. So, but it's a name. If you ask me after, I can tell you who this they told me about. It happened. I heard the story of another man of God. He was hurrying. I heard this a few weeks ago. Hurrying. His driver didn't buy fuel. Anyway, if you've gone to northern Nigeria, the towns are far from each other. So filling station can be far. So they go somewhere, the car coughed. What is that? Driver said, Oga, let's see if we don't finish. The man said, open the tank. Get me sand. He raised his hand to heaven, poured it into the tank, closed it to the driver. We entered the car, yeah, let's go. The driver started the car. The car started. He drove to where he was going with a handful of sand. Bro, next time you are traveling, go and buy fuel. Did you hear what I said? Joseph didn't work. Go and buy fuel. Me telling you the story, I buy fuel. Why? That is the normal thing. The next thing God wants to do for somebody, he will take Ororo from leaf. He may tell him specifically, look for amaranthus. No other leaf. Rub it together. When it forms a pool in your hand, pour it into the radiator. Why not the fuel tank? I don't know. I'm just going to look for something odd. Don't turn odd things to normal life. The Lord does it. But there's a particular order by which he said you should live. Learn that order. For Peter and Co., they failed to get the right person out of a large congregation. People's hearts, the heart of those who are with you affect your ability to perceive things. If you're in the congregation of 120, it's more difficult with every heart thinking all kinds of things. So to focus his faith, God said, hey, wait, relax. What do we want? An eyewitness of the resurrection. And of course, all the works of Jesus. So only the men, like I said, One had to be a man. Two had to be an eyewitness, especially of the resurrection. So every miracle you read in the Bible, they all saw it. They all saw them. After going through that large congregation, you know, there were 120 persons in the upper room. Some of them were women. So let's just average it. 60 men. Looked through 60 men. They found only two that qualified. Like I said to you, Paul would not have qualified. It made it easy for all hearts to unite, to receive from heaven. They went and they did the casting of lots. Won't talk about that now. There was nothing wrong with that. People say it's not spiritual. It is spiritual. If you go through this process, please read my book. I don't have time to go into the details about all these things. Guided by the Spirit. They cast lots. He was okay under the circumstances. But this is where I'm going. You see, the principles they lived by, they understood, they used to guide themselves until they got to the point in which they could receive that which God or who the Lord had chosen. Your life also is the same thing. As you grow, God guides you into precepts. I'll give you an example. One that we all know. You want to marry. People say, of all the what? What they ask? Of all the men. Good. And you, you're a man, you want to marry. What will you say? Of all the women. If you say, of all the brethren, you have already missed God. If your marriage choice opens the heart wide to include men, and you're a man, you see, you're a sinner, you have killed faith, God will never answer you. No, 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 no. I just want God to tell me who, say, oh, you left the possibility that I could be a man. You're worshiping idols. You've come to pray to Baal. You have come to pray to Ra, not God. It can be the God we serve. So it is right and, I mean, it is good and righteous to eliminate half of the brethren in church on earth simply because they are what? Men. Because we are a man. Let's go under elimination. Clear one from scriptures. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. See, it's clear. You've eliminated the men. Of the women, you've eliminated all the non-believers. Yeah, can you see? Out of the billions on the earth, you're already down to just a few millions. But let's again be practical. Most times, it's amongst the people that you know or you will meet. It is pretty unlikely. It has happened once in, maybe twice in the last 1,000 years, that you'll be here. God will show you a picture of a Chinese woman that you have never met. I tell you, go to the Chinese.